Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing that's been. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 46 down to verse 53. John chapter 4. Verse 46. If you're able to, if you would stand with me as we read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 4, verse 46, the Bible says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus saith unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole family, whole house. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for what we've already received in being in church today. What a blessing it's been just being in this place. And Father, now as we open up the precious word that you have preserved for us, and we study this passage of Scripture, story of the nobleman's son being healed, I pray, God, that you would just give each one of us an ear to hear what you have to say to us and a heart to make an application. Pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So here in this passage of Scripture, we find that Jesus instructs a nobleman to trust in his words. Simply trust in the words of God. As a certain nobleman, the Bible says in verse 46, that means a nobleman was that he was an officer of the king or a ruler. He had a position of importance. The idea of being a certain nobleman helps us to understand this was not a parable, but that this was a man that God was actually working in this individual's life. And so in this certain nobleman, his son was going to die. There's no getting around that. This man believed that his son was about to die. He actually told that. He says in verse 47, for he was at the point of death. And then in verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child dies. My child die. So we find here, this first of all, and Jesus addressing this nobleman, that he had been working in this nobleman's life through a trial with his son. The nobleman would have had access to doctors. No doubt he had been taking him to physicians at the time, only to find that they couldn't heal him. He would have had access to whatever medicines was available during that time. The medicines, evidently, that he had did not work. He would have the finances for whatever it would call for to be able to bring healing to his son. But his son was going to die. Now, his family, the Bible talks about his household, but his entire family would have been experiencing a tremendous trial and oppression during this time, thinking that their son and brother was going to die. And, you know, there's trials in Sunday morning Sunday school. We're going through the book of 1 Peter. And it's knowing how to deal with the trials of our life. And if you're not coming out for Sunday school, let me encourage you. Boy, some powerful truths there that we're studying and presenting in 1 Peter on how to deal with the trials. Everybody goes through trials. Everyone has burdens to bear. Some seemingly go through more than others, and we don't actually know the reason why, but there is a reason why we go through what we go through. God is in control of all things. He doesn't cause everything that happens, it happens, but he has to allow it. And he's aware of all the things that are taking place in our lives. And we will face many trials as we live life. And so as this nobleman here, we have this story that the Bible reveals to us, this event in the life of Christ. And as he meets this nobleman, that his family was in turmoil. And as I look around our world today, and there's no doubt even in our church, there are a lot of difficult situations going on in the lives of many of our church members. There's people all over Indianapolis and Indiana and the United States of America and the world, if you will, that are suffering from tragedies and going through things that they don't seem to have any help for. And so we can relate somewhat to this nobleman here. This certain nobleman was made to feel helpless. Now understand, that's what the Bible says, because Jesus knew what was taking place in this nobleman's life before he ever came to Jesus. He was working in his life. It was a certain nobleman that God knew about, and he wanted to bring him to that place of salvation. He wanted to bring him to that place of a faith in believing in who Jesus was and is. And this was taking place in his life. His son had developed some kind of an illness that was going to take his life, and there was no other hope or help for them, this entire family. I don't know about you, but as he was made to feel helpless, that's one of the things that I despise. I hate to feel helpless. Most people want to be able to fix things. I think that's one of the reasons that I went into the ministry, because I had a desire to help people to fix things. And even though I know that I did not have the help for people to fix things, I knew that God had the help for people to fix things. But as a young father and raising two girls, I always wanted to be there to be able to help fix things for them. And when they would bring things to me, and they believed that their dad could fix about anything. And they would bring things to me, and I would either fix it. I was always worked with my hands. I was good at working with my hands and doing things. And if I seen that I couldn't fix it, then I would just go buy another one and tell them I fixed it. Here it is, right here. Look what your dad accomplished. I didn't want them to think their dad couldn't fix it. Amen. And when you're like that, you want to be able to help people. You want to be able to fix things for people. Most people want that. But we've realized that there comes times when we just can't. As my girls got older and we've been through a lot of trials and grandchildren, and you realize, I can't fix things. I want to. I would love to be able to have the power, the ability to fix everybody's problems. Amen? There's a blessing in being used of God to help people. But there's times when we just can't do it. That's when I'm very thankful that I know Jesus Christ. Amen. And I know the Bible. Because the Bible has the answers. Many find Jesus Christ as a result of facing tragedies. If I would have testimonies right now, I'd go around, and there would be so many here that would say it was because of this tragedy in my life. It was because of the loss of my dad, or loss of my mom, or loss of my brother, sister. It's because of cancer. It's because of this. Whatever it might have been. But most people find Jesus as a result of facing trials. Tragedies. I love what the psalmist says in the Psalm 119, and you can write it down if you will, but let me read it to you. Here in Psalm 119, verse 67, the psalmist says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It means he was going astray. He was going away from God, And then he was afflicted. And he says, but now have I kept thy word. Indicating it was the affliction that come into his life that got him to look to God to keep God's word. And then he says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. In verse 71, he says this, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Many times God does take us through trials to learn more about him, to understand our dependency upon God. You see, unless a person sees their need for a Savior, they'll never get saved. Unless you see yourself as a sinner on his way to a devil's hell because the wage of sin is death. That's separation from God. That's the payment for sin is eternal damnation. And I've got to see myself as somebody that's headed on their way to a devil's hell, and I can't fix that. I can't be good enough to go to heaven. My righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. I don't have enough money. If I had all the money in the world, that would still not be enough money. There's not enough money to buy your way into heaven. In order for anyone to be saved, they have to see their lost condition and their helplessness in and of themselves. And they have to see the one who can help them. They have to see the love of God that sent his only begotten son to the cross of Calvary to pay a sin debt that we owed and could not pay. When you see yourself as being helpless and not being able to fix it, and you look to the one who can fix it and that has paid the price, and you put your faith in him, and you realize that it's not anything that I can do, but it's because of what you've already done. I acknowledge that I'm lost on my way to a devil's hell. I acknowledge the fact that you went to the cross of Calvary. Not only did you die, you paid my sin debt and you died on the cross, but you're resurrected on the third day, as you said. And you ever liveth to make intercession for me. I know who you are. I know what you've done for me. And I ask you to come into my heart. Fix what's broken. Reconcile me to an almighty God. Give me everlasting life. That's how you get saved. This man and his family found themselves in a very difficult trial with no help in sight. And the nobleman then hears about Jesus. He might have heard a little bit about this miracle worker that claims to be the Messiah, but until he had a need for him, he would have dismissed it. He had a very important job. He had a place of a position in this world. He had servants. He had finances. He had what most people in the world live for. He had attained what he wanted in this world. He had money and position and all the different things until he was faced with something that he couldn't fix. He's faced with something that money couldn't buy. As far as he knew, there's no cure. Doctors could not cure this boy. And the nobleman hears about Jesus. Look at verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come, when he heard about this miracle worker, when he heard about this man who claimed to be the only begotten Son of God, that was going around healing those that had diseases, had afflictions that would take their lives. Can I tell you that God works in everyone's life who is of the age of accountability around the world to give them opportunities to believe? If a person, no matter where they're at around the world, if they will take advantage of the opportunities and what God has revealed to them that they can know about God, if they'll take the advantage of those opportunities and seek the Lord, God is there to be found. He's a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. But in order to seek God, you have to see yourself in need. If you don't see yourself in need, listen to me, you might hear about Jesus, you might hear about Christianity, you might hear about the preaching of the word, but you'll dismiss it because that's for others. I don't need that. And usually it's a tragedy. It's a trial that takes us to our knees, that humbles us to the place that we'll turn to the one who can help us. To make a decision about Jesus, a person has to hear. That's why God's given the church and every born-again believer the Great Commission, going into all the world and to preach or to herald the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13 and 14, I love this, and let me just read it to you. But Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is a promise from God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? No one has ever been saved without hearing and understanding that there's a Savior. And I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm lost. I'm on my way to the devil's hell. I need Jesus Christ. How shall they believe on him, in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Without somebody telling them. Amen. Somebody told him. You see, somebody who knew told him that didn't know. All of us that know ought to be looking to tell those that don't know. You never know when that individual is in that circumstance of life or that trial of life or facing those tragedies of life, and God has brought you into their person, into their presence, so that you can tell them about Jesus Christ. And it might be that you're there at that point in time because God is in control of the circumstances of life. He's in control of the timing of life. And you might be brought into that timing of life for that very purpose. And as we're obedient to tell people about Jesus Christ, it might be that that's exactly what they need to hear and that they will listen because of what's taking place at that point. Maybe they're facing a divorce. Maybe they're facing cancer. Maybe they're whatever it might be, they're going through tragedies of life. But if they don't hear, they don't know that he's available to call into him. Yeah. So he hears. His pursuit, verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. From Capernaum to Canaan would have been 20 miles. Now, he didn't have a car to jump into. He didn't have a taxi to call. This 20 miles of walking over rough terrain, he would have done or said whatever. He was at point in his life, his son was going to die. His family was in turmoil. He had did everything that he knew that he had access to, and nothing was helping. And he heard about Jesus, someone that could give him help. And he sought after that. He walked 20 miles. He would have done or said anything to get his son the help he needed. Jesus addresses his faith in God. Look at verse 48. Then said Jesus. Now, he knew what was taking place. He knew where this man was. He knew that he would say or do anything for his son. But that's not what gets a person saved. It would take faith in order for him to be saved. Faith in God. Faith in God's plan. So Jesus said, then said Jesus to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You see, faith is, the Bible says, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Do you have to see me heal to believe? That's what Jesus is asking him. I need you to come with me. I'm going to take you back home, and I know that if you're with me, I want to see you do something. However you've been healing everybody else, however you've been helping everybody else, I want you to come home with me, and whatever you have to do, you have to put your hands on him. You have to do something miraculous. You have to have the thunder come down from lightning from the sky. You have to do whatever you have to do. I know that I hear that you're able to do this, and so now I want you to come, and I want you to perform this miracle, and I want you to heal my son. He says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Do you have to see me healed to believe? Faith says, believe and then see. Unbelief says, see and then believe. If I'm going to believe in God, you've got to reveal yourself to me. If you're truly the Son of God, come off the cross. If you're truly who you say you are, save yourself, and then we'll believe. That's unbelief. That's not faith. Faith says, believe the words of God, and then you'll see. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. I want you to see this, because there was another situation, somewhat similar, but this was a centurion, and he had a servant that was needing healed. Back over Matthew chapter 8, we know that he's dealing with faith here with this nobleman. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. See the difference here? See, to the one, he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. This one here says, I believe who you are. He says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy of that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak thou the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority. I know how authority works. Having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed. He marveled and said to all of his disciples, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Just looking for signs and wonders before you'll believe that the Bible is the very word of God, before you'll believe that there is a creator, before you'll believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, before you believe that and by faith just trust it, I have to see a sign. I have to see wonders, or I'll not believe. This man came just wanting his son healed. He would have said anything. He would have done anything. And Jesus knew what he needed. He needed faith to believe his words. See, we should not have to see a healing to know that God heals. We do not have to see the mountain removed to know that God can remove the mountain. We have to just believe that God answers prayer. We have to believe that this Bible is the very words of God, and whatever this Bible reveals to us is true. Whatever promises God makes to us, if I meet the qualifications, then I can claim that promise. I don't have to, first of all, see it to believe it. I have to believe it, and once you believe it, then you'll see it. That's how faith works. Too many say, nah, I won't believe that until I see it with my own eyes. I've got to see God do something. Then I'll believe. You'll never get saved. Because that's not how God works. We must, by faith, believe, trust in him. He asked in verse 47, go back with me to John chapter 4. He besought him. So he prayed. That beseeching God, asking God that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus turned it around and he said, nah, except you see signs and wonders. Then old man saith unto him, verse 49, sir, come down or my child die. I just want my son to live. Jesus says, there's much more here that's going on than just the healing of your son. Your eternal existence is at stake. Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Call upon the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. Do you believe it? No, I've got to hear thunder. When I got saved, there's something has to supernaturally happen when I get saved. I've got to be able to hear the thunder. The earth has to shake. No, you have to just by faith believe what the Bible says. You have to by faith believe that God has died for your sins. He paid your sin debt and he wants to give you everlasting life. But you have to by faith believe that and then do what the Bible says you need to do to be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Expecting to be saved. Because you have faith in his word. Amen. See, when you pray, you have to expect God to answer. He might not answer in the time and the way that you want it to be answered, but can I tell you, I have faith to know that God answers prayer. When I pray, I have faith to believe that God hears and is going to work to answer that prayer in his will. And he'll give me grace to accept his will, whatever that might be. But God hears prayer. God answers prayer. I don't have to see a healing to know that God can heal. I don't have to see him remove the mountain to know that he can remove my mountain if it's within his will to do so. Yeah. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Just have faith to believe my words. But most want to see God do something, when we need to be more concerned about hearing what God has to say. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the blessing of faith, the blessing of believing by faith. Verse 50, and the man believed. The man believed. The word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. If he had not have believed, he would not have seen his son live. Because God does everything in connection with humanity through our faith. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, you see, God will give you signs afterwards. God will give you assurance afterwards. God will give you a confirmation afterwards. But you have to, first of all, believe. You have to have faith to believe in the very words of God. Yeah. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Confirmation. Confirmation. See, that's the icing on the cake, is after you believe and then you see God start answering prayer and start working in your life and you start sensing the presence of God. You start feeling the conviction of God. You know that it's all real because it's happening inside of me. You understand that I'm saved because now I evidence what God tells me that I will evidence the presence of God in my life. I have conviction over sin. I cannot continue to live in sin without the conviction of the Spirit of God in my life. The Spirit of God, there's something taking place, and His Spirit now is bearing witness with my spirit, and I see things differently than I saw them before. Praise the Lord, that's evidence. There will be evidence once you have by faith believed. If you have not by faith believed, you might have went through a process of whatever you thought you had to go through, but that's not salvation. This father would have done or said anything that would have brought healing to his son. But Jesus said, what you need more than healing for your son is you need to have faith to believe. You need to have salvation. Now he starts seeing the evidence. And what happened with that? The Bible says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Yeah, God allowed this trial in their life so that the whole family could get saved. The whole house. As a result of faith to believe, not only was this nobleman's family saved, but no doubt many others would have heard. And God would have worked through this nobleman now and his family, because he'd have been telling everybody that would lend an ear. Whenever they would have a need, he says, I might not be able to meet the need. I can't fix it, but I can tell you one who can. I can tell you about one that fixed our need. There was no other, there was no hope, and we were all in turmoil, and we was going through trials. And God, Jesus Christ, I met with him, and he told me, without seeing signs and wonders, he just gave me his word, and I believed his word, and it came to pass exactly as he said it would. See, when you have faith and you see God working through faith, when you can't fix it, you're going to be so thankful that you know one who can. And when you know one who can, you're going to tell everybody who'll listen. Stop looking for signs and wonders. It's not what we need. You don't need signs and wonders. What we need is faith. Focus on hearing and believing what God says. Have you done that? Have you done what the Bible says a person must do to be saved? If you have, based on the words of a God who cannot lie, you can have evidence and assurance of everlasting, eternal life. And in every area of our lives, no matter what it is that you're facing, what is needed most of all is not signs and wonders. It's just confidence and faith in God's word. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus wanted this nobleman and all the disciples and all of us in this New Testament church age that reads this text to understand the importance of faith. Just faith. Stop losing sight of faith. Father, we bow before you now. We thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. We thank you for this event of this nobleman and how you worked in his life. You orchestrated it all so that he and his family could be saved. But not only that, it would be a testimony for all of us to understand the importance of faith. I pray this morning, God, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would come to you by faith today. Let somebody take a Bible and show them what you say they need to do. And by doing what you say they need to do, they can leave here with 100% assurance of salvation. Lord God, work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.